This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. The Ohio River is one of our greatest resources, the reason Cincinnati is even here in the first place. And each year, thousands of recreational boaters enjoy the river. But while being out on the water is a great time, there are dangers involved, especially with the amount of commercial traffic that travels on our stretch of the Ohio. And joining us to talk about how to have fun on the river while staying safe are Bob Webster with the Cincinnati Sail and Power Squadron, and Ed Alf, owner and president of Sea Ray of Cincinnati. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Bob and Ed, thank you both for being here this afternoon.
Thanks for having us, Mark.
I heard an interesting conversation one time where the question was, which is riskier, driving or boating? And the thing that amazed me was that to a person, they all said boating. You think that's accurate, Ed?
Well, no, I think boating can be very safe. Whether you're driving or boating, you need to be aware of your surroundings, and you need to, take your time, not be in a hurry, obey the rules of the road. And there's different rules of the road on the Ohio River or any lake, just as there's, common rules on the road in driving. So experienced boaters are out there and can have a great time on the water and still be very safe.
Bob, what do you think? Driving or boating? Which is riskier to you?
Driving.
Okay. This is from an experienced boater, though, right?
Well, the reason that boating is safer, or the reason that there is danger on the water, is primarily lack of education by the boaters. If you drive a car, you have to be able to pass some qualifications that said you at least once upon a time knew what the rules of the road were. Now, whether you follow them all the time or not is one thing, but the density of automobiles and people on the highways is many, many, many fold higher than it is boaters on the water or boats on the water, either one. And so long as they are halfway educated in the rules of the road and what equipment they need and how to use it, they'll be way more safe than on the road.
Do you find that some people don't seem to understand that, though, that operating a boat is a lot like operating a car? There are laws, there are rules. You've got speed limits. You've got no wake zones. You shouldn't drink in boat. Do you think people don't always get that like they should?
Be my opinion, based on what our education program is like in the Power Squadron, that this generation of people knows everything without having learned anything. So they'll buy a boat and they'll automatically do whatever they want to do with it without having really learned what would be applicable to that particular craft or the water they're boating on.
Ed, yeah, you're not just about selling boats to people. You've got a lot of education and training that you do for your customers. When they purchase a boat, you're going to show them how to use it properly, aren't you?
That's exactly right. That's one of the advantages of working through a boat dealership, is they will take the time to show you how to operate the boat, feel comfortable with the boat, and launching, retrieving on a trailer, docking, and just safe boating. But that's still does not replace the online education or classes that are also offered through groups like the Power Squadron, Coast Guard Auxiliary, and other places where you can get more formal education. So we kind of do the hands-on education, and there's other places where you can learn the rules of the road and the theory.
Now, can someone just buy a small boat, launch it on the river, or do they need to take a certification course first before they can do that?
If you were born after 1982, you do not have, after 82, you do have to do a certification course. Prior to that, you're grandfathered in, and there is no education that's mandatory, although it's recommended.
Now, do either of you know how many boating accidents occur each year on our stretch of the river? Any idea? Do you keep track of that, Bob?
In the last several years, it was way under 100.
Mm-hmm. How, and that is that pretty good compared to, say, being out on the roads?
What do you think?
A lot better. tell me about your organization, because it does a lot of interesting work, the Cincinnati Sail and Power Squadron.
Cincinnati Sail and Power Squadron is a branch of the U.S. Power Squadron, which is it's 75, 80-year-old organization that's basically dedicated to teaching boating safety. And we have courses available from anything from A to Z. We have several courses that are available on the internet, and several that we teach all the way up to navigation for, you know, offshore navigation. But around here, people think you don't need that much, and you don't need to be able to run offshore, but the basics of operating a boat safely with the appropriate knowledge of what you do in certain situations, what we think is it makes the day a lot more fun for the people who participate in the education enough to learn that, so they don't have to be wondering what they should do in a lot of situations where they should know.
Ed, what's an education program like when you buy a boat from your dealership?
Well, it provides a boater, oftentimes a new boater, to have an opportunity to work one-on-one with an experienced boater, where they can feel free to ask whatever questions they want and take as much time as they need to feel comfortable with the boat that they've just purchased.
And so you take them out on the water? Is that what you do?
We do. We do. And Sea Ray of Cincinnati, fortunately, is located at the Four Seasons Marina right on the Ohio River. So it's very easy for us to launch the boat into the river and then provide that hands-on, on-water education that really is invaluable. And it's easy for us to do that because of our location.
You know, speaking of the rules of the road, how do you figure out who has right of way on the water? I've always wondered that. You watch these boats out on the river that are going back and forth, and you always wonder, now, how do I know who has the right of way in that situation?
There are several rules of the road that speak directly to that. One of the ones that's commonly ignored around here is the downbound boat has right of way over the upbound boat. And the other one is that somebody crossing the channel should be yielding right away to anybody that's in the channel.
So when you say downbound and upbound, what's the definition of that? Is that the same as downriver and upriver?
Yeah, downriver and upriver.
Okay. So if you're going downriver,
downbound boat has right away over the upbound boat.
Okay.
And a boat crossing yields right away to a boat in the channel.
Ed, do pleasure boaters on the river, are they pretty good about watching out for other boaters, and do experienced boaters watch out for folks who are not following the rules or might be a danger to other people? I'm sure Bob has an opinion on this too.
I would say in general that boaters are always very helpful to other boaters.
Pretty aware people.
I mean, it's like you're in a club and you're driving your boat and another boat passes you going the other way. Everybody waves at each other. If, you know, it's very friendly. It's everybody's more than willing to help other people out. And that's what makes boating fun, is you meet a lot of new people, and, it's just a great way to spend time in the water and do it with not only the people on your boat, but interact with other boaters as well.
Bob, are we pretty good around here about being aware of other boaters and watching out for the nuts on the water?
Yes, I think we are. They usually show themselves fairly quickly, but even they, if they have a problem, they'll have no trouble getting help from the people around them. So,
yeah. Who enforces the laws on the local waterways? How's that work?
There are 7 or 8 police jurisdictions on the Ohio River right here at Cincinnati. It would be the Coast Guard, the Hamilton County, Boone County, Cincinnati, who else? State of Ohio, state of Kentucky.
You know, I think that's a thing a lot of people don't realize. You can get a ticket out on the water, just like you can get a ticket driving a car.
Yes, you can.
Yeah. Is alcohol one of the bigger problems for boaters, one of the bigger dangers and risks?
It's probably the same kind of danger it would be on the highway.
So it's a pretty big one. Now, what are the basic safety items you should have on a boat, Ed?
Well, by law, you need to have a life jacket on board for every person on board. There are also other things like flare and a flag and a throw cushion, fire extinguisher that you need to have on board your boat. But the biggest thing is to make sure you've got a life jacket that fits each person on board. So if you have small children on board, you want to make sure you get a life jacket that properly fits, you know, children as well.
Now, is it a requirement to wear a life jacket, or is it a requirement to have them on the boat?
For children, it is required to wear a life jacket on board. For adults, it is not.
Is it hard to get people past the idea that wearing a life jacket isn't, they might think it's not a cool thing to do, or they might look geeky wearing it, and so there's some resistance. I'm a good swimmer. Why do I need a life jacket? Do you run into that?
I would say that most adults, when they're on their boat, do not wear a life jacket, although it doesn't have to be cool or uncool. It's just a personal choice.
Yeah. Is there a problem with getting people to wear their life jackets?
Oh, I think the industry sees that it is, and the people that are legislating think that it is, but and they've done something about it. There are a whole group of it's not a life jacket, but it's a suitable thing that you can clip on your belt, or it's a like a set of suspenders you can put on, which is much less in the way or objectionable, and it still gives you adequate protection.
So it gets you past that perception problem of wearing that bulky life vest around.
Right, and if it happens to be 100 degrees out and you're in the sun, you probably don't want to wear a Mae West.
Yeah.
you don't need a fur coat.
You got to work on your tan.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. And it's hard for me to imagine, because I can swim, but I don't think I would feel comfortable in the Ohio River not wearing some type of flotation device. Because if I go in, there's current you have to deal with. And, I would be concerned that even if I can swim well, I still might have problems. So, does there seem to be a problem with that either one of you see with texting and boating? It kind of like texting and driving. Is that an issue out on the waterways?
Well, one thing, you might get your phone wet and it might not work.
that would be fitting, wouldn't it?
I mean, if you got to make your habit kind of with what you're doing. If you're poking along at 7 or 8 miles an hour, it's a way less risky thing than if you're in a go faster and you're running 60 or something like that. The guy that's going 60's got the same problem a guy in a car's got. Maybe more so.
Mm-hmm. Ed, what do you think? I guess it's just advisable. Don't let yourself be distracted. It's just as bad as being on the road.
I think it's common sense, and that most people know that when they're behind the wheel and the wind's in their face and they're watching what's going on, I don't think the last thing they're worried about is texting. I think they're just having too much fun. And that's one reason to escape from all the social media is get out there and have some fun on the boat. Leave the phone in your bag.
Yeah, I'm always amazed, though, at the situations I see people texting, because I would think the same thing as you. And you still see them doing it. I mean, that's just amazes me. Commercial river traffic. How should boaters take that into account? I mean, there has to be some respect toward the commercial traffic, doesn't it?
The big boat gets right away.
Yeah.
That would be it. And the regulation that talks about that is more straightforward. It says that if a boat's in a channel that it can't operate out of, which most of the commercial traffic fit that category, your job, stay out of their way.
Mm-hmm. And barges pose a very real danger too, don't they? I mean, is there a certain distance you should leave between a pleasure boat and a barge?
Well, you should be far enough away at the bow or any the stern, either one, that the captain of the commercial vessel has clear view of you.
So it's whatever common sense dictates. Just
and they don't stop fast, so you're getting in front of them, and even if you're pretty far in front of them, and putting the boat in neutral and doing anything is not a really good idea.
Ed, is that pretty much the case? Like with right of way rules, the larger, slower moving boat gets right of way. Most of the time, like a barge will get right of way.
Yeah, that Bob is correct. That's absolutely the rule. But there's plenty of room on the river for barges, for pleasure boaters, for kayaks, canoes. There's plenty of room for everybody.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the common mistakes that boaters make that each of you see?
Trying to leaving a dock or arriving at a dock, they'll try to do it like they did with a car and not realize that they don't really have brakes.
Yeah.
And at the stern is what steers the craft. So they can you can get into some hitting docks and getting yourself in a semi-emergency because you didn't consider all that before you started doing it. And wind plays as big a part, in most cases, maybe more than current.
So that's a technique you need that boaters need to work on, need to be aware of.
Right.
Yeah, I like the idea. There's no foot pedal that you step on and you stop the boat. There's no emergency brake either that you just yank the handle and stop the boat. Okay. What are some of the common mistakes that you think boaters make, Ed?
What I see is boaters just get in a hurry and they rush. And when you do that, things maybe don't go so well. So go slow, take your time, don't be in a hurry, and you'll be fine.
Yeah, that was some of the advice you gave earlier. Being in a rush, Bob, why would I guess if you're on a big old power boat, the temptation is there to go too fast. But if you're out on the water, why would you want to rush anyhow? I mean, why not just enjoy yourself?
Well, that's the right answer, but it doesn't always work like that. I mean, you see boaters, they'll have a specific set of time that they want to be back at the dock, and they left late, and they stayed at the restaurant too long, or you know, played in the water too long, and now they're late and they're going to go back in a big hurry because of whatever's going on back there. So there are a lot, our lifestyle in general, just because our society's like that. We're in a hurry about everything, and it's a hard thing to actually leave that hurry when you get on the boat, although that's a great thing to do. That's what you should do.
Yeah. I was talking earlier, I mentioned that there are rules of the water, and I mentioned speed limits. There actually are speed limits on waterways, aren't there?
Yes. Not here.
Okay. Not around here, but some parts of the river, they'll tell you.
Right.
How fast you can actually go.
Florida, the intercoastal waterway is full of signs to how fast you're allowed to go and when.
So how do you find out the regulations in your area? Is there a resource online or a manual that you can get, kind of like a driver's manual?
Most of them are available online, and the thing that we teach is if you don't know, ask.
Now, Ed, you know, even a small motorboat can be an investment, and folks can spend big money on a boat. Are customers more inclined to learn, to be willing to learn, to protect that investment?
They do. I mean, depending on the type of boat that is the right size for your family, it's important that you do take care of your boat, protect your investment, and keep mechanically in good working order. And your weekend's going to be a whole lot better when you go out and your boat works. But if you don't maintain your boat, you potentially could have issues, just as you're going to get your car maintained, you get your boat maintained. So there's recommended service that our customers do, and the boats today are more reliable than ever. And for the most part, our customers really have a positive experience.
Bob, you're chuckling because not everybody behaves in a common sense way, do they?
That's true. They get I've seen several examples of somebody with a big investment that did some fairly stupid thing. And it's like any place else. Ed's exactly right. 90% of the people do it right, but there's always this one individual that doesn't pay attention. There was an example about here 5 years ago where pretty new boat, ran right over a dredge discharge hose that was carefully marked. And I'm pretty sure it cost a guy, you know, $50,000 or $60,000 to fix the boat when he got done with it.
Not to mention he probably had to pay for any damage he did to the line.
I'm pretty sure he did.
Yeah. What should a boater know before they head out at night? Is there are there anything that changes between daytime and nighttime?
Well, it's a lot harder to see which way the boat's going in the dark, and there's a lighting configuration that's pretty universal, which is real simple, but you need to know it.
Mm-hmm. Ed, so tops on your list of advice for just having a great time on the water is just to slow down and take it easy and enjoy yourself.
Yeah, I agree with that. The only thing I would add to that is Taking the time to do some education, whether that's through another experienced boater or going online and taking some courses, would be a couple recommendations, just so that they can familiarize themselves with the rules of the road when you're on any of the lakes or the river.
Bob, what about you? What's your advice for making sure you have fun on the water without killing yourself?
Like Ed said, take your time and go out with the intention of enjoying yourself and preferably having learned some of the rules of the road before you go. But even then, ask questions and don't get yourself in a situation which is dangerous.
No, so don't be afraid to ask questions.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Yeah, ask questions is good.
You're not going to look stupid for asking, right?
No, you might look stupid if you don't.
Okay. Well, Bob and Ed, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon. Bob Webster with the Cincinnati Sail and Power Squadron and Ed Alf, owner and president of Sea Ray of Cincinnati. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our programs are available at WVXU.org. Today's program was produced by Pete Reitmeier. The technical director was Rick Andres. William White composed the Cincinnati Edition theme music. I'm Mark Haney. Stay tuned for Here and Now next on 91.7 WVXU.